If you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 through 74. Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 through 74. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Beginning in verse 69. Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know who you are saying." And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." But again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you are one of them, for your speech betrays you." Then he began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed, and Jesus remembered the word of Jesus, who said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So he went out and wept bitterly. Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 through 75.
Have any of you ever been ashamed of someone or something? Have you ever had anyone come up to you and say, "I am ashamed of you"? I remember as a child, that actually happened to me. I don't remember what I had done, but I had done something that upset my parents. And they told me, "Farron, we're ashamed of you." And I have to tell you, that went through me like ice. And it bothered me so bad that my parents were ashamed of me. You know, in the story that we have just read, it is the story of the Apostle Peter. And in this story, we find that he was ashamed of his Lord. Three times he said, "I do not know the man." And this is coming from a man who literally said, "I am ashamed of the greatest thing, the greatest person to ever enter into my life." And sometimes I wonder, do we honestly look at our relationship with God and with His Son and with the Holy Spirit with an attitude of the fact that I wish I wasn't here and I am ashamed to be a part of it? You know, the story of Peter's denial is probably one of the most dramatic events to ever be recorded in history. It has been and always will be analyzed and discussed as long as the world stands. Because these are words that we don't like to hear if someone says them about us. And it should be words that we would not want to say to those that we love. The aspects of this sad story and Peter's repentance and salvation is studied almost every week because of what it includes: the sin, Peter's retribution, his repentance, and the work that he continued when it was over. You see, on this night, it was indeed a sorrowful event. Jesus had just been seized by the Roman soldiers under the leadership of one of his own, that being Judas. He was forced to carry his own cross. He was forced to stand before the Jewish priest. He was forced to stand before Pilate. And he was nailed to that cross. He was left there to die. What a horrible thing that he had to do. Jesus was by far man's brightest and greatest gift that God could have given us. It was the brightest and greatest gift that God gave to Peter. And yet Peter was ashamed of it at least three times. Because three times he said, I do not know the very best that God gave to me. You know, as we enter into November, we are entering into a period of time where our thoughts turn to being thankful. And we're going to think about Thanksgiving probably for the next few weeks. You know, throughout the year, throughout this time of the year, we usually begin to think about how we have been blessed. But sometimes I can't help but wonder, are we really thankful for the blessings that pour out upon us every day of our lives? You know, we were able to get up from the pillow that we slept on last night. We were able to stand and walk, dress ourselves, and come here to adore the God that made all of this possible. Are we really thankful for all of the things that are done for us daily? Or do we find ourselves like Peter here in our text, ashamed of all of this? Because you see, when Peter said, I do not know the man, he was saying, I'm ashamed of the man. I don't want to be associated with the man. Never gave once thought to what this man had done for him in life. How Christ had changed his life. Every one of us in this room who is a child of God, our lives have been changed by this man. We have moved into a different direction. We have had our sins forgiven. We have a hope of a life that will last forever. Are we thankful for that? Or do we find ourselves being ashamed of that? You know, as we speak of God's blessings, no doubt we think about the material things, the physical blessings, and no doubt God has blessed each one of us well. We speak of the material perspective, and we have been blessed physically, but we have also been blessed spiritually. By far, the greatest blessings given to us are the spiritual blessings of life. Paul tells us this, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with the habitation which is from heaven. Now, when we hear these words of the Apostle Paul that tells us just how wonderful we have it because of the blessings that come from our Lord, the question has to be, are we really thankful for these things? Or are we simply like Peter? We're ashamed of him who gave these things to us. I want to talk about some things that, and ask the question, are we ashamed of these things? Number one, are we thankful for the church and the blessings that we receive from being a part of it? Now, I have to tell you, the church is very valuable. And I hope that we can all see the value of the church and be thankful of it. We find the value of the church reflected in its cost. It was a great cost involved for the church to be here. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. Now, we understand that Paul is talking here about the elders of the church, the shepherds, as mentioned here. It is the responsibility of the church leadership to feed the flock and to ensure tranquility in the spiritual aspects of our Christianity. We are to be a chosen vessel. We are to be the one that through whom the gospel is preached and given to the world, and by which God is glorified. Have you ever stopped to think that every time you mention to one of your friends or your family or your neighbor about Jesus Christ, that you are glorifying God? Every time that you exercise your Christianity in the right way, you are bringing glory to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And whether or not we are ashamed of all of this can be seen by the way we treat it. You know, the book of Acts talks about Saul of Tarsus and how he attempted to destroy the church. In fact, in Acts chapter 8 and verse 3, it says that he was going from house to house. He was dragging off men and women and having them put into prison, committing himself to agree to the death of the Christian, to try to put an end of this. So we understand that when we are ashamed of the church, we are ashamed of Jesus, because at that time, Saul of Tarsus was ashamed of Jesus. He knew who he was. He knew what Christianity was all about, and he tried to stop it. He was ashamed of it. It did not follow the Judaism law. And he didn't want any part of that, so he tried to end it. So we understand, don't we, what it means to be ashamed of the church. We need to thank God for the church and what it has done for us as part of it, and never be ashamed of it. The next question is, are we thankful for the Bible? Believe it or not, the Bible does something for us that we cannot do for ourselves. It supplies all our needs. And it doesn't matter how many millions of dollars that you have in the bank, it doesn't supply all of your needs. It has been said that the rich man is one of the most miserable men that have ever lived, because he can't be satisfied with what he has. But on the other hand, the Word of God gives us everything that we need. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, this verse is telling us that everything that you need in this life can be found right here in God's Word. You need to learn about salvation? It's in here. You need to learn about teaching? It's in here. You need to know what you're doing wrong? It's in here. You need correction in life? This tells you how to correct your life. You need to know how to live right? It will tell you how to live right. You need to know how to grow up and mature? It will tell you how. You need to know how to properly train yourself for good works? It will show you how to do it. There is nothing that this book does not address in your life. The Bible is the only source of faith as a child of God. And I do hope that we all have a great element of faith in our lives as children of God. And if we got it, we got it from God. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Anything that you have learned anywhere else is false. Don't listen to it. It has to come from God's Word. God's Word is such a blessing to us. Are we thankful for it? Or do we find ourselves watching it sit on the coffee table? If anybody has coffee tables anymore, that's sort of a thing of the past. We had a coffee table when I was a child, and it had a great, big, beautiful white Bible sitting on it. And it is sad to say that in some cases, that big, beautiful white Bible, you could take your finger and write, "Dust me." Do you dust your Bible? I have a sermon called, "Do You Dust Your Bible?" I don't know if I preached it here or not. Do you dust your Bible? Or do you use it? Do you use it so much that it is literally falling apart? That's the best way to destroy a Bible. Use it to death. God's Word is such a wonderful blessing. It allows us to understand God and ourselves. It allows us to share it with other people. And we need to be thankful for that. And then, are we thankful for Christ? Are you thankful for the great sacrifice that He made? We have the record of this, Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 5. "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance of a man, He humbled Himself and becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Are you thankful for that? Do you think about that each Sunday when we take the communion? Or do you think about, "I wonder if the pot roast is done on the stove"? Maybe you think about what you're going to do this afternoon when you get home. And some of you are thinking, "Boy, I'm glad I don't have to come back tonight." Is that what you think? Or are you actually thankful that Jesus died on that cross and gave His life for you? When we take the communion today, you are going to see a picture of Jesus on the cross. That's what you need to think about. That's what you need to remember in your life. Are we thankful for that? Are you thankful for His virgin birth? Are we thankful that God brought Jesus here in a miraculous way? Are you thankful for the power that He had over Satan? Go to Matthew chapter 4 and read this event. Three times Satan attacked Jesus, and three times Jesus answered with the Word of God, and finally He says, "Get away from me, Satan." Have you ever told Satan to get away? That you love the Lord, that you serve the Lord, and thankful for Him who has allowed you to do so? Are you thankful for His teachings? Read the four Gospels, the wonderful stories that He told, the wonderful parables, the wonderful lessons that He told. We can see His power through His miracles and His speech. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23, it says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all kinds of sickness, all kinds of disease among the people." Are you thankful for the great gift that He has given to you and I? We talked about that this morning. Each one of us as Christians have the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then we have the gift of life. Have you ever stopped to think about the fact that when the physical life is over, we will continue? And we will continue for all eternity. And I know that's something the mind cannot fathom. But in this life, Jesus said in John 10 and verse 10, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Folks, you and I have life more abundantly today because of this man. Are you thankful for that? Are you thankful that you can be here today instead of at home laying in bed with a hangover, which probably millions of people are doing right now, this very minute? Are you thankful now that you have your family with you to be with you during your worship instead of running out in every direction, committing every sin known to man? Are you thankful for that? Are you thankful for the peace that you have sitting here in this seat, knowing that if you was out in that world, that peace was not going to follow you there? The world doesn't give you peace. It gives you trouble and turmoil. But yet we sit here with peace in our hearts. Are you thankful for that? We need to be thankful for the things that God has given to us. God has blessed us in so many ways. And we need to remember that. And not only during this time of the year when our thoughts are tuned to Thanksgiving, as it will be for the next few weeks. And when we sit around that Thanksgiving table for the feast, and we thank God for the feast, let's thank Him that we'll be able to sit around this table tomorrow night and the next night and the next night. Let's thank Him that we were able to sit around His table last night and the night before and the week before and the month before. I have told teenagers who are rebellious against their parents, don't you know you're biting the hand that feeds you? Don't you know that you're rebelling against the one who loves you more than anyone else could possibly love you? And every time that we are ashamed of Jesus Christ, we are rebelling against the one who loves us far better than we can love anyone or anyhow we can love ourselves. Because God loves us more and gives to us more. Throughout our lives, we need to be thankful and not to be ashamed of our Lord and Savior. Because it is because of His gift that you and I sit here today saved. We sit here today with a ticket to heaven. Now we can abuse it, and we can throw it away. But if you're a faithful child of God, you are blessed beyond measure, and you need to be thankful for that. This morning, I want to tell you, my friends, that you can. God has made all of this possible through the gift of His Son. And you can enjoy this tremendous blessing that God has given to you. But in order to have this blessing, you have to live an obedient life. And it begins by giving your life to the Lord, allowing God to come into your life, to live for Him and develop that life and obey Him. And it may be, Christian, that you have become unthankful in your life. It may be even to the point that you have become ashamed of God and what He has done for you. You need to come back to God and repent of those things. And you already know this. I'm not telling you something you don't already know. If you walk away from God, you are separated from God. Isaiah said it. It's not God's hand that won't reach out. It's not God's ear that won't hear. It is you. You have walked away. You have stopped listening. You have stopped obeying. and you need to come back. We give you that opportunity today to be thankful for God, not ashamed of Him. Today, if you need to respond to the invitation of Christ, please come.